The Environmental Protection Agency considers leftover household products that can catch fire, react, explode, are corrosive or toxic to be considered household hazardous waste. To avoid potential risks associated with what we lovingly call HHW, it is important to always monitor the use, storage, and disposal of such products. Today, we have the expert with us to learn more about the common household waste items you may have in your home, and she is going to tell us what to do with them so that they are safely disposed of. Hello, I'm Gina Murphy Darling, and this is Down to Earth Tucson. With me today is the recycling guru, a champion for the planet, and an all-around pretty darn great human being. Please join me in welcoming return guest, supportive partner, and dear friend of Mrs. Green, Christina Palsgrove, Public Information Officer, City of Tucson, Department of Environmental and General Services. And that is a mouthful. So, my dear friend, nice to have you here again. I always look forward to our time together because no matter how much I think I know, you tell me more about what I don't know, and I appreciate that. So thanks for being here.
Well, thank you for having me.
And the stories abound. I mean, seriously, there's so many stories. You and I could write a book. I will actually be the ghostwriter for the things that you have found in recycling, and it would go viral. So, but let's talk about keeping our homes and the planet safe as it relates to the proper disposal of household hazardous waste. It's a big deal. So it's also a big category. It can be confusing. Walk us through some of the things that fall into this big umbrella of HHW.
So very basic, anything, any product you use in your home or outside in your yard that is marked toxic, flammable, poison, acidic, corrosive, yes. Anything like that.
Have these big red warning signs on
household,
them.
Yes. Yeah. Household hazardous waste. And those are products that can be potentially harmful to humans, pets, or the environment. And so while you could put them in your trash, we do offer a program where people can safely dispose of them. And I think the really great note about our household hazardous waste program is that 98% of what we collect is either reused or recycled.
And that really matters.
And just a small percentage of it.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's great.
Yeah, I didn't mean to interrupt, but I mean, some people, you know, a lot of people ask me questions and then I call you because you're on speed dial for me. But there are lots of questions about this, which to me means people care. So I want to ask you about one in particular. I remember, I don't know, maybe when you and I first started or when I first started in this journey, there was such a big deal about light bulbs and that if you dropped a light bulb, you had to call hazmat and it was serious and there's mercury. What's the real deal about light bulbs? Since mostly now, hopefully everybody listening to this show does not have light bulbs with mercury in them.
Well, the ones that do have mercury in them are, in fact, you know, some that a lot of people like to use because they do reduce your energy use, and those are fluorescent bulbs. So the spiral fluorescents, the tube fluorescents, all have a little bit of mercury in them.
They do?
Yes.
So yeah, I always learn something.
Yeah, if you want to be energy conscious, I'd say, you know, move toward LED. They last forever, and they don't have any of those substances that might be potentially harmful.
And they're really energy efficient.
Oh, yeah. They're great.
I can tell by just the reading lamp by my bedside table, it doesn't emit heat. You don't get hot. And now in this 113-degree glorious summer we're enjoying here in the Southwest, that matters. What about, you know, when speaking of mercury, isn't mercury in thermostats still?
It can be. And then the other thing that we actually, people don't know, and we ask them to bring old smoke detectors because those have
got it.
A little bit of radiation in them.
Okay, so there's all kinds of things that require doing a little bit of homework, a little bit of thinking. What about things like, I think the ubiquitous, ever-present in everyone's garage that I was ever in are things like paint. You use a half a can of paint. You maybe use acetone. I've used acetone to get nail polish off. That was before my enlightenment. But things like that, isn't there a danger sometimes from storing them in your garage when I know my garage will probably get up to 120 or 130 today?
Sure.
So what about those things?
There is. And you know, it's funny, I'm just in the process of updating our brochure, and one of the things it says is to not keep things stored for too long in your garage or under your sink because, especially in Tucson, the heat can affect those products, and we don't want any accidents.
And you know, this calls for, to me, a little bit of an educational moment, because I know cleaning products, there was an aha moment for me quite a long time ago about if I have a bunch of things in my, my kitchen, under my kitchen cabinet, in my bathroom that have big red warning signs, and if this gets in your eyes, rush yourself to the emergency room. If it's injected by children, get them there. And what happened to me, probably because of all the things I was reading in my education, is there are substitutes for those. So I just like to do a little shout out for harsh cleaners like Drano, not so good for you, the planet, even for your toilet. There are other things that you can do. So I just would like to encourage our listeners and our wonderful tribe of highly evolved consumers to rethink your purchasing, because the best thing is either, what do we say now? It's refuse and then reduce and then reuse and then recycle, but do some education about what you really need. And we've changed everything under our sinks. And when we moved, we found that we didn't get an A+ because there were some secretly hidden things shoved way back. But I think that's a good point too. Just be aware of what you're storing. And the hardest thing for me was Clorox bleach. And I'll be honest, if you came over and did a spot inspection, Christina, you'd find some Clorox in our house, but it's up on a very high shelf. It's probably 10 years old and it's still good. But I don't think I'll ever buy it again, because I've found a new way to get stains out of my clothing with dish soap. So that's a good one. What about batteries? That's one of the most common questions people ask me. What should I do with my batteries?
I will tell you, batteries are becoming a big problem.
Oh.
The alkaline batteries that you use in your little flashlights or, in old electronics, whatever, CD, AA, AAA, those are fine in your trash. They aren't hazardous. We will take them, but they're fine in your trash. But what we are seeing today with so many people using high-tech products that need more energy and a different type of battery, like the lithium ion, those are causing big problems because they can explode. And we have had trash trucks that have caught fire, we think,
literally
because
explode
of lithium ion batteries. We've had them cause fires at the landfill. And actually, last week, a recycling facility in the Phoenix area burned to the ground. Was it in Phoenix? It burned to the ground. And they believe it was because of lithium ion batteries.
So, it's jumping around a little bit. What can we do to get the word out more? I mean,
well, I think people just, we need to let people know, don't put these in your trash. Take them to HHW. We offer a monthly drop-off the second Saturday of every month. It's in different locations throughout the city. We take all of those things at that time. We also are open at the Los Reales landfill Thursdays, Fridays, and Saturdays from 7 to 4. So there are plenty of opportunities for people to take their materials so that they know they're going to be disposed of properly.
And the thing that so everybody knows, full disclosure, I was in a meeting yesterday with Christina and another member of her team, Kendra, and someone from Goodwill, Matt Flores, and we talked about, I guess it was mindfulness. That's not exactly the topic. Let's talk about mindfulness. But we talked about the consumer and how we have to encourage all of us to think, literally, to be mindful, because you talked about, like, in my DNA is not the option, if I had an oxygen tank, to throw it in the garbage. Like, it would not show up. And I don't think it's because I'm Mrs. Green. I'm like, this should not be in the garbage. That happens, correct? People put oxygen tanks in the garbage.
We actually had one explode at the landfill, and it did cause damage to a vehicle that was nearby. And you know, thankfully, there was only one of them that exploded, but there were, I guess, about half a dozen that somebody had put in the trash. We think it was because somebody was cleaning out a relative's home.
Right, someone who may have passed.
And those really are supposed to go back to whoever provided them, the medical supplier.
Right.
But definitely not in the trash, and so they should go to the household hazardous waste if you can't get them back to the vendor.
And what about things like, and this is all so fresh to me because we just recently moved. We moved from our home to another home, and the things we found, it's like things that go thump in the night. We were all laughing because we lived in that house for 20 years. We had a 3-car garage. What about things like oil that you use to change your car and automotive fluids, things like that? We found stuff that we were like, huh, when is this from? And you know, there's a joke with one of my other clients, Chapman. They tease me and say, we just throw all the old oil that we don't use out in the back alley, which in fact they do not. But isn't that something that needs to be disposed of properly as well, oil?
Yes. And, you know, unfortunately, I think most of us probably take our cars somewhere to get the oil.
You can be sure I do.
These days. Yes. But yeah, the oils, any automotive fluids, all of those things are considered household hazardous waste, and we will properly take care of them if you bring them to us.
It almost comes down to the thought that I would invite people to have is, if this could harm you, think about throwing it in the garbage before you do. Because that, when you talked about the oxygen tanks, people could have been seriously hurt if they were in
absolutely
close proximity to that. They could literally, I mean, I don't want to say they could die, but it's possible if an oxygen tank explodes and hits you just right. So it's really just a matter of that whole word. I love the word mindfulness. Think about it. And if it is going to harm you, might it not harm someone that's handling your trash for you, which is a very, very hard job in the first place? So think about it. So Christina, while I have you here, I have a couple more things that I want to just repeat or reiterate or revisit. A big question in people's minds lots of times is, what do we do about medication? It's a big issue in our country. Americans take lots of pills, and they are considered hazardous waste, but you cannot take them, and that makes sense. So what should people be doing with them, with their old medications?
So they can take all of their old medications. There are drop-off bins at each of the 5 city police substations and some other opportunities with Pima County as well. You just drop them off, no questions asked. But law enforcement does have to accept them, though, because, you know, some of them are controlled substances.
Right. It makes perfectly good sense.
So that's what they need to do.
Yeah. And I remember in one of my first interviews with you, it could have been as long as a decade ago, when I said something like, and it's safe to flush them down the toilet, right? And you said, OMG, no, that is not a safe thing to do because it can get in the water supply.
Right.
So that's a big no-no, correct?
Yes. You don't want them getting into not even into the wastewater stream, because, you know, eventually that all ends up you know, in the environment.
Yes.
And animals are impacted and our drinking water can be impacted.
Yes, yes. So don't flush them down the toilet. And it is safe to throw them in the garbage because they will get buried. They will get crushed. Just be careful about putting them in your garbage can and make sure there's no little kids around. Okay, and since I do have you here, can we just do a couple of things about recycling, because it's an ongoing issue, ongoing discussion. There's lots of forward motion about glass. And the last time I spoke with you, you said people are stepping up. They're using the glass recycling containers. So it's working. What about the contamination rate? The one that we revisit time after time, is there any improvement on contaminated waste to help with the good news?
So we do an audit quarterly. In the last audit, we had a very slight decrease, but, you know, we were still paying $9.80 a month, almost $10 a month extra for every ton. So it was still, you know, like $23,000. But we did our tagging project. Some people fondly or unfondly called it the Recycle Police, but we had received a grant from the Recycling Partnership, and we targeted certain just random neighborhoods on in all the five different service days, and we had people inspecting the bins, tagging them. I will tell you, with all the data we've gotten back, it's been really great. We actually have a lot of model recyclers in Tucson. They kind of break it up by model recyclers, people that want to recycle and are willing to learn how to do it right, and then you have reluctant or people that don't want to recycle. So we had a lot of good ones. We saw that the biggest contaminant continues to be plastic bags, plastic film.
Oh.
44% of the tags we gave were because of plastic film. And, you know, people are so good about taking their glass, and if they would just take their plastic film to the grocery store, they take it, they recycle it, but it really causes problems with the machinery at the recycling facility.
And by plastic film, you mean those very thin plastic bags. And I was in Safeway the other day, stopped for some reason, and I saw this guy come in. He had a big, huge bundle of plastic bags, putting it in their recycling bin. So people do it.
Absolutely.
And the good news that you shared with me a while ago is, you know, it waxes and it wanes and it changes, but you have told me that the money, like the market for recyclables, for the most part, is definitely improving for tin, aluminum, cardboard, paper. Is that still the truth? Is that still the trend, I mean?
Yes. Aluminum and tin have pretty much held steady because it can be recycled indefinitely, aluminum in particular. What we did have a problem with after the China National Sword was plastics. And I will tell you that in the last few months, plastics markets have gone way up. They only represent about, you know, maybe 15% of what we take, but they are generating 34% of the revenue that helps offset our costs.
And I want you to say that again.
Big value.
People listen to what she just said. Yes.
And, you know, and we still only capture about 25% of the plastic bottles that are used in this country.
Blows me away. Blows me away.
Yeah.
And when we were preparing for another training for Pima County, and it was about inputs and outputs, like what you buy and then how you get rid of it. And I saw a statistic, and it's part of what I love about this journey, about, you know, it's connecting the big green dots. It takes so much less energy for manufacturers to use a recycled tin can and an aluminum can than it does to start from scratch. And it's significant. It's like 96% and 84%. I was trying to find that slide before I went on with the show, but there were a couple of distractions over here too. But, you know, we have, I would say, highly evolved listeners, and there's goodness in what you're doing if you're putting these things in the recycling. It's not just that it's getting recycled and isn't that great for the planet. In terms of climate adaptation and mitigation and slowing it down, it takes so much less energy to use for manufacturers to use recycled materials. So it's like I kind of sound like I'm pathetically begging, and what I want it to be is an exciting, passionate plea is to please, you know, put it in the bin. And it just makes such a difference in our fight against climate change. And here in the Southwest, we're all getting the message it's real. With temperatures like 118, where tarmacs turn into, you know, mud puddles up in the Phoenix area, we're just going to have to pay more and more attention. So, and you are so on the bandwagon with this. And I want to ask you this because it's the one that I had pause last week. We ordered pizza. And there was a little bit of grease on the bottom of the box. And I stood there hesitating because I want to be a model recycler. And I wasn't sure what to do. It wasn't coated with grease. So what should I have done? And then I'll tell you what I did. What should I have done?
If it's just a little bit of grease, I mean, that's not going to cause huge problems. The problem is when you tell people, you know, it needs to be clean. You know, they don't see the part about it needs to be clean.
Right.
They just see pizza box or aluminum pan. And then we get the grease and the turkey carcasses and the slices of pizza and all of that stuff.
Sorry, it's not funny.
You know, but if it's just a little bit of grease, it's fine.
Okay. It's really okay.
But a lot of people, you know, they break it up. They tear off the lid and put that in the recycle bin and put the bottom part that has food or grease on it in the trash.
So they get A+ master recycler and they're model citizens. I love that. Well, that's a good thing for me to know. I put it in the recycling because it was so little. It was like a very thin film. There were no big pieces of, like, you know, meat or cheese on it. So I said, this will go through. Okay.
Yeah.
Last but not least, unless there's anything else you think we should cover, I really wanted to know about the contamination rate and about the good news about the increase in value for recycled goods, which we all win as taxpayers, as citizens of the planet. The more we recycle, the better it is for all of us on every level. Triple bottom line. But even though we will give the show link in the notes with this show, do you want to give a shout out for your website, which is very informative? Because everybody's not going to retain everything we talked about. I have to go to your website. So what is the website that people can go to have all their recycling questions answered?
TucsonAZ.gov/recycle, or download our Recycle Coach app and check things in the what goes where box.
It's really easy. It really is. There's an app for that too. So it's really good. And I just want to give a shout out to you and Kendra and the city in general for doing so much to make a difference, and for your social media presence and really working hard to raise awareness, which everybody wins. I mean, it's the whole thing about, you know, a rising tide raises all ships or whatever that is. I never get it right, but you get the idea. So I just wanted to take this time to thank you, and looking forward to some big projects and some exciting things to come that we'll be covering. And thanks for showing up in my life and in the presence of Mrs. Green's world.
Well, thank you for having me and helping us spread the word, because I know that you are really, really dedicated to getting as much information out there, and we appreciate it.
And it makes me feel great when people call me or text me or email me to ask me, because I want that brand association or that message association or whatever you call it, because I am passionate about it. And there's a lot of good reasons. I mean, it's somewhat selfish because I want the planet to be healthy for my little Rooney girl granddaughter, but we're all in this together, and that's what it's going to take. It's teamwork, making this big dream work and turning this very, very big ship around that has been going in the wrong direction for quite some time. So thank you, my friend. I hope the rest of your day is great. I want to say to everybody out there, be careful. Don't leave the house without water. Don't leave work without water. And I mean like a 5-minute walk. That's the warnings they're giving, because 113 degree heat is really hot and it can literally affect your lungs quite quickly. So be safe, be careful. And of course, I want to say, be green, recycle. It really matters.